Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our January weekly series on parenting taboos continues. Rufus Griscom, the founder of Babbel.com, is back with us to talk about the bad parent column on his site. This is the taboo-smashing confession section for parents to discuss the unspoken realities of parenting. They put together a compilation of bad parent columns in a book now called Dirt Is Good For You, True Stories of Surviving Parenthood. So each week this month, we're going to delve into one of those taboos and have real conversations about the things we are told we must not say out loud as parents. This week, what you will not sacrifice for your kids. Where do you draw the line? Give us a call. No judgments, just discussion. Rufus Griscom, thanks again for doing this with us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And I want to start with a clip. You may have heard that Governor Patterson's 15-year-old son was detained by police this week for playing dice on the street and apparently carrying a bank card that did not bear his name. Now, last month, before this incident, WNYC's Bob Henley interviewed the governor and asked him how he and his wife balance raising kids with such demanding schedules, and here's Patterson's answer.
Our son finishes school around 2:45, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he doesn't see another adult sometimes until 9 or 10 o'clock at night because both my wife and I separately have evening schedules. I can't give anyone advice on the subject because it's something that we have not always gotten completely right.
So, Rufus Griscom, Governor Patterson should be posting on Bad Parent.
Yes, he certainly should.
He confesses that he and his wife both get home 9, 10 o'clock from their demanding jobs after his son gets out of school at 3. We're not supposed to admit that we're not willing to make that sacrifice for our kids of being around or having someone around for our child.
Absolutely. And one of the big sacrifices a lot of us make for our kids, or some people make, is in sort of job satisfaction. There are a lot of jobs that do require you to work until late at night. If you want to pay for your kids' college, you might have to stay in a job that's less satisfying than other jobs that are out there. That's a big question for a lot of people.
So, listeners, are you willing to call up and say what you are not willing to sacrifice for your kids in terms of your own job satisfaction? Do you ever have that chat with your buddies around the dinner table, or is this just too much of a parenting taboo, as Rufus Griscom's column suggests? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Working long hours is one example. Here's another from your column, Rufus, and I guess this really started a lot of buzz on Babbel.com. And this post was called "They're On Their Own, Why I'm Not Paying for My Kids' College." What was that about?
Yeah, this was one of the most controversial stories we've ever published on Babbel. And it was a mom who was saying that she has five kids, and she's often asked, "How are you going to pay for five kids' college?" And she says, "I'm not going to. I'm not going to pay for it." And of course, she gets a lot of raised eyebrows and funny looks, and she makes a case for why she doesn't intend to pay for her kids' college, and this resulted in a torrent of discussion and comments back and forth. Some parents saying, "We decided to only have one child or only have two children because we can only afford to pay for college for one or two kids," which is a pretty radical statement. We're actually going to contain the size of our family based on our ability to pay for college. A lot of other parents said, "Hey, we don't want to be a financial liability for our kids in 20, 30 years. It doesn't help them out to pay for college and then have them have to pay our medical bills in 20 years because we didn't plan properly for retirement."
Of course, there's nothing new with having family size be a function of economics, at least in part. I mean, back in the old days of agriculture and a high degree of infant mortality, parents needed a relatively large number of kids to grow up and help work the farm, and they also knew that some of those kids were going to die, and that was a matter of economics.
Right. Right. Of course, in the farm case, it was reversed, right?
The
kids were good for economics.
Well, that's right.
Right, and now, and of course, some people might say, of course, we all make decisions about, you know, can we afford the big enough house or enough food, or, but to say, you know, if college now costs, depending on where you go, between, you know, $100,000 or $250,000 for 4 years, it's a big nut for a lot of people.
Right, and it's one thing to say, I don't want to be a burden on them in my old age, and that's why I'm not going to spend down all my savings on their college education. But this writer who you mentioned before, whose name I think is Megan Francis, basically said, I've sacrificed my body, free time, career advancement, and much of my cash for them. This is where I draw the line. And she argues that her decision is ultimately good for her kids to learn some self-reliance, that is, having to pay for their own college educations, for those reasons. And that generated over 100 comments on Babbel, right?
That's right. That's right. And she also makes an interesting case that she said, you know what, it depends somewhat on the child, on the kid. If I have a kid who's working extremely hard, is extremely motivated, is going to get into Harvard, and I need to take out a loan so he can make it or she can make it, by all means, I'll do that. If I've got a kid who wants a four-year summer vacation, you know, and I'm not going to take out a big loan for that. Which is an interesting distinction. I think a lot of us may have had parents who said, you know, who helped out, but there were some contingencies. You know, you've got to get decent grades, or you got to, you know, we need to see evidence that it's meaningful to you.
Let's take a phone call. Vincent and Warren, you're on WNYC. Vincent, thanks a lot for calling. You're on WNYC. Hi,
hey,
Vincent.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I was just saying I would not sacrifice the relationship with my wife. So many times you get caught up in the job, you get caught up in keeping the house up, and then obviously you need to spend time with your kids, but you need that time with your spouse, and I really just don't want to give that up. I know it doesn't
And has,
really
has push come to shove on this, where you felt a pressure to spend time with your kids, but you're like, no, I have to have this relationship with my wife, so get out of my face, or however you said it?
No, I'm talking about, you know, you have to have that separation. You have to be able to, well, I have little ones, 7 and 3, so maybe it's a different circumstance, but, you know, you have to be able to put them to bed at a certain time and then spend that time with your wife and make that effort.
Thank you for your call. Here's one on our comments page, Rufus. Stephanie from Montclair writes, I'm really bothered by something I witness every day at school pickup. Kids stream out of the building and, without even looking at their mothers, immediately hand their backpacks to them to carry. The moms take the bags without batting an eye. I can't stand this. When my son or any of his friends try to hand me their bags, I say, I'm not the Sherpa. Does that make me a bad parent? She asks. So there's another one.
Interesting. Yeah. I think Vincent's comment on the strength on sacrificing marriage is one that we hear a lot of, because it takes a lot of time to invest in a marriage, to have a strong marriage, and I think there's an argument that one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is happy parents. And so, you know, what does it take to be a happy parent? Maybe it takes a strong marriage. It takes a certain level of job satisfaction, a certain amount of time maybe reading the newspaper or listening to the Brian Lehrer Show or whatever it is.
So we know that listening to the Brian Lehrer Show can make you a better parent. Allison on the Upper East Side, I think, is another one who won't pay for college. Yes, Allison?
Hi. Oh, I love your show, really. Thank God for your show is all I can say.
Okay.
And I'm at work, so I have to be quick. But, yeah, I totally agree also about the Sherpa. I have to say that also something about the baby boomer parents. We totally, you know, which you've talked about before on your show, we spoil our kids. You know, we do too much for them. I will not pay for college, and I've said it to my kids already who are 12 and 8. They'll have to deal with it. But, you know, if I can help a little, I will, but I need to take care of myself, as Susie Orman says, in my retirement.
So it's one or the other. I mean, it depends how much money you have, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a middle class, you know, working body, and, you know, but I did choose, however, unlike Governor Patterson, although I don't think I would ever be in politics, to stay home, kind of close to home, and watch my kids. So I sacrificed a little in my career because I work two blocks from my kids.
So you're saying this on the Brian Lehrer Show. Would you say it to your fellow parent friends that you're
totally
not going to pay for it? You do say it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I live on the Upper East Side, which is, you know, a world of spoiling your kids. And, you know, I also will not bat mitzvah my child, you know, in the plaza. So, you know, it's
right. We'll go to Ray's Pizza and have the bat mitzvah.
Well, we'll do it as we can, and that turns heads also, believe you me.
Allison, thank you for calling. I appreciate your candor. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And Linda in Woodbridge is struggling, I think, with a question of how much to sacrifice for her kid. Hi, Linda.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for picking up my call, and it's really nice to listen to your show. Getting back to the topic, I lost my job in the New York City economic crisis, and I'm going to college now. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and I leave her with a neighbor of ours. They are very reliable. They have kids of her age, and she keeps playing with them. When I go to college, like evenings till 8 or 9 in the evening, till my husband comes, she's with them for 2 or 3 days of the week evenings, and I feel really sad. Do I need to do that and do this to her, that leave her in the night, in the evening? I don't know. I feel very bad about it, but I have to do this struggle for my career either. I don't know if I need to pay for her college in the future or for my own bills, medical bills in the future. I don't know about that. After about 20, 30 years, as somebody else said, but I need to do this for something, but I feel bad.
So you need to leave her with the neighbors till 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock so you can pursue your college education
and get a job in the future.
But do you feel that that's purely selfish for you?
Yes, I mean, she still needs my help for so many things, and she needs to eat her dinner, go to bed by 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and when days I go to college, it takes a little time till my husband comes back. He works in the city, too, and it takes time. Her schedule gets disrupted, and we have no rights to do that, but we do it.
Linda, thank you very much for your call. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
And Carlos in Forest Hills, another one. They're coming out of the woodwork, Rufus, people who won't pay for their kids' college educations. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And you only have a 1-year-old?
Yes.
And you've already made this decision?
Yeah, before the child was born.
Because?
Because it's too expensive. I paid for school by going through the military, going through the GI Bill. My wife took out a ton of loans. That's how she paid for her school. And I believe that it really teaches the kid to have an obligation towards his schooling. So, I mean, the idea is to put the kid through, like, a good school, send them to, like, you know, math workshops and English workshops, and hopefully he'll be or she'll be very, very prepared when the time comes, you know?
How about if you do?
We want to have another kid. So.
How about if you do really well in your career and you're making $500,000 a year and you have a few million dollars in savings? Would you take the same position?
That's a little different. If we had the money to throw around, yeah, I'm sure that would be we would be able to help out a little bit better. But I mean, we're not like that bad off. We're doing okay financially. It's just I believe that, I don't know, maybe my wife might change my mind at that point. But right now, at the stance, we want the kid to be able to, do it on its own.
Got it. Carlos, thank you very much. And Rufus, people aren't having so much trouble admitting that they wouldn't pay for their kids' college education. With respect to where it comes in as a conversation taboo, I don't know if the original post that got the conversation started on Babbel had anything to do with the parents' own comfort. I just want to have a more comfortable retirement. I just want to be able to travel and go on cruises and whatever.
Yeah, well certainly that would be that much more taboo if you said I want to spend 10 years traveling around the world and consequently won't contribute to the expense of books for my kid in college. Interestingly, one of the people who posted in our comments was a woman who was a school administrator who made the case that in the last 20 years, college has gotten a lot more expensive. There are fewer scholarships or the scholarships are less generous. And so actually the burden of taking on college debt has gotten worse than it was for a lot of us when we were in school. So that's another consideration.
And here is, I think, the adult child of a father who, like Governor Patterson, wasn't around at night for her, Beth in Mayapak. Hi, Beth, you're on WNYC.
Hello, Mr. Lehrer. Nice to speak to you.
Please call me Brian. And what's your story?
Well, when I was very little, up until I was about 7 or 8, my father was a full-time professional chef. So, people would say, oh, it must be so nice. You must eat so well. And it was like, well, yes, except for nights, weekends, and holidays, But the trade-off was, you know, he might have not been around at night, but he was able to hang out with me during the day on Mondays when the restaurant was closed. And, it, you know, I mean, it, things seem perfectly normal to children if that's what happens, mm-hmm. and that's
so this
what happened.
Worked out okay. You didn't resent him.
No. And, you know, and they have, to go on to the college issue, which is being discussed, they have helped me pay for college, but it was made very inescapably clear to me that if I didn't go to a state college, then they were only going to be able to help me with X
right.
portion of the
right.
tuition.
Beth, thank you. And I'm going to sneak in Ellen in Brooklyn here. Ellen, we only have about 20 seconds for you, but you're the one who's calling aghast at all these parents who won't pay for college.
I actually can't believe what I'm hearing, and with all due respect to everybody, I'm a middle-class single mom with an elementary school boy, and I wouldn't even have a child if I wasn't planning to help this child become properly educated to enter society and be a valuable citizen. I think it's our responsibility.
They're not saying don't go to college.
They're saying that kind of go out there and do it on your own. See, you know, I think that it doesn't have to be Ivy League, not at all. I think that the state system is amazing, but I think it's part of our parental responsibility to encourage and nurture children, that higher education is part of parental responsibility as
Ellen,
well.
Ellen, I have to leave it there, I'm sorry to say. And Rufus Griscom, we're going to have to leave it here for this week. Next week, I gather, we're going to continue our Parenting Conversation Taboo series, asking, is it okay to decide to have six kids or just one? And I think we got another tip here from the Sherpa mom. Maybe we should talk about whether it's okay to say you do spoil your kids. You get that one?
Yes, absolutely. That's a big controversial one. That'll be a lot of fun.
All right, we'll do that. Rufus Griscom, talk to you next week.
Great, thanks.